Hello and welcome. You've tuned into Active Listening with T4 Tactics. I'm Marco Galbraith, your host, and our podcast is all about personal success and networking. We'll discuss small business tips, health and wellness issues, personal safety tips, financial gain, and a variety of other topics from professionals in the field. And once in a while, we'll throw in our area of expertise, firearm safety and active shooter response for businesses, churches, and schools. So sit back, relax, listen and learn. Active Listening with T4 Tactics. Happy Independence Day, 4th of July, 2023. We're spending our Independence Day holiday doing a podcast at 9:25 a.m. I've got E.L. McGuire here. And first, we're going to talk about, he'll explain his background, but first, we want to tell you about July 15th from 9 to noon. We're doing at his church, Thaxton Baptist Church in Thaxton, Virginia. What's the address?
1067 Phoenix Mill Road.
1067
Phoenix Mill
Road. Phoenix Mill Road. And that's actually right on 460. Yeah. I mean, it's the church is on 460.
It's visible from 460. Yeah.
And I'm going to do, with T4 Tactics, I'm going to do a safety training for church safety teams. So this is not the three-hour active shooter training that I do. It's just going to be bringing church safety teams up to speed, what they should be doing, what the latest threats are towards churches. The reason I picked EL's church is I've done training a couple times at your church.
Yes.
You guys have had the sheriff's department in, done
yes.
some training.
A couple times with them.
Yeah. But your church safety team, so I've trained a lot of churches in the area, and there are churches that do the training and then drop off.
Yes.
And then there are churches that do the training, they do more training, they do more, and they're dialed in. Your church is one of those.
Pretty much. Like I was telling you earlier, we've slacked off a little bit just with COVID and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Things, the world went nuts. And,
yeah.
But we're getting dialed back in and trying to get ramped back up. And, I mean, we never quit.
Right.
We just kind of, some of the folks fell off that were active with the
uh-huh.
safety team. And we do... As you've told us, we do call it a safety team, not security,
right.
for legal purposes.
Right, right. But you guys have always, I mean, you've got equipment, you know,
yeah.
we won't talk about what equipment you have, but you've got some dialed in equipment to keep that facility safe.
Yep.
And you've got some dialed in people. You and a few others that I know have been on there consistently.
Yes.
Dialed in.
Yep.
And that's what we need. We need, and that's why I chose your church. That's, you and I talk all the time,
yep.
but that's why we chose your church, is because I want safety teams for churches to understand we got to stay with this.
Yes.
And it's not only going to be a time to fellowship and to network to find out, hey, what does your church do?
Yes.
Well, our church does this. What does your church do? That's going to be great, but we need to network. You can set up, you know, we'll have future training events with other churches.
Yep.
But it'll be some good information about keeping your church safe.
You and I have talked about it in the past, and I hope we can get more going this time with churches. Like if you have big events, sometimes
right.
you really don't have enough safety people to cover it.
Right.
I think we should work together as churches and pull from other churches.
Yeah.
Work
yeah.
together. I mean, I'd be glad to go to other churches and, you know, I mean, they just tell me where they need me and what they need me to
right.
do, and I'm there.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Good point. And we also want churches to network. To you and I are in the process of trying to get a text thread going
yes.
or an alert, because if somebody shows up at your church in a trench coat and a disguise and they walk in and leave on a Sunday morning, we need to let other area
right.
churches in there, not just law enforcement, because, and I'm prior law enforcement, so I can say this, law enforcement can drop the ball sometimes.
Yes.
So we need to make sure that we're notifying the other churches. Hey,
right.
we just had this guy come in, heads up if he comes to your church.
Right.
Maybe he came in our church and he looked at something and didn't like something security-wise,
right.
safety-wise, and then left, and
yep.
he's on the way to another church.
Exactly.
So that networking is important. You guys have, and that's great that you'll offer, you know, your services,
yep.
Well-trained services. So that's going to be free. If I didn't say that, it's a completely free event. I don't, as a business, I'm not going to try to get you to sign up for training. I don't have any agenda for it. But it is a free event on Saturday, July 15th, 9 to noon, Thaxton Church, Thaxton Baptist Church in Thaxton, Virginia.
Yep.
We've got tons of flyers on it on my Facebook page, my T4 Tactics page, my Marco Galbraith page. And it's also on my website if you need some information, but we hope to see you there. Again, it's free for safety teams. We don't want just anybody showing up. We want people that are actually on the safety team, or if you're interested in starting a safety team. But again, you have to, you should have already had some type of active shooter response training.
Yes.
Before coming to this, because some of what I'm going to talk about won't make sense unless you've had the training. But it's going to be a good time to get dialed in. So, EL's a truck driver.
Yes.
How many years?
Roughly 38.
38. So you've got a little bit of experience.
Mile or two.
Yeah, just a mile. How many miles would you say?
I probably average 100,000 a year. So
wow.
Somewhere 380,000.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
In my younger years, I did more.
Right.
Sometimes now I do a little less, but
right.
Probably around 100,000 a year. So
right.
Between 380 and 400,000, probably.
Wow. And what age did you get into it?
25.
25. Wow. So a lot of change in technology.
Yes.
A lot of change in laws that you've seen.
Yes.
So what's your background? Like, what have you hauled?
I started out hauling box furniture.
I hauled a lot of marijuana.
No marijuana.
Cocaine.
No marijuana. I was offered one time to haul something that I did not know what it was.
Yeah, no, thank you.
For a large amount of money, and I turned it down.
Yeah, yeah.
But yes, but I've hauled box furniture and dry van. I've lived in this area all my life. I worked for a company out of Roanoke when I first started. Then I worked for Harris Trucking in Lynchburg, which used to be, they've sold out now, but that was a big trucking company. I worked for them. I pull dry van, reefer, flatbed, pull gas.
Reefer is refrigerator.
Refrigerator.
Because people say, he just said reefer, marijuana. Yeah, refrigerator. Yep. Yeah.
Pull gas for about 10 years.
Yeah, that's when I met you. You were pulling gas.
And
yeah.
I am now with a local company, a small, one of the better companies I've ever worked for.
Yeah.
But just hauling their products. It's a private, we're not for hire. We haul our own products.
Okay.
It's flatbed.
Yeah. And that, you got a brand new truck coming.
Brand new truck should be on the road in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. We got some questions about that truck we'll talk about. What do you, I mean, you always use your mirrors anyway, so this is probably a easy question, but do you prefer like a box trailer or flatbed? Or does it matter?
Well, I mean, depends.
Because you don't look.
No.
You're using your mirrors to back up. It's not like you turn your head to look. Yeah.
We can with these because we have day cabs with a window in the back. And
yeah.
You can turn and look.
Yeah.
If you got a sleeper truck, you can't turn and look. Well, no matter what kind of trailer you have.
Right.
You can't see anything.
Right.
So, yeah, it's mirrors as you learn. And the whole thing that I tell folks, I've done some training with drivers over the years. Brand new drivers, and then some drivers that were experienced that were getting into gas hauling, just to haul gas. But it's a mindset, truck driving, it's like a lot of things. It's a mindset, and you get a picture in your head of what that trailer is doing behind you and how it, you know, turns. And
Because what people don't, so I did a little bit when I was the traffic sergeant in Florida, Daytona Beach, in the motor unit, Port Orange. I was I went to a Florida Department of Transportation motor vehicle compliance, and it was for tractor trailers. And something I had never thought about is when you're hauling liquid, you stop, but the liquid still moves back and forth, back and forth, and that liquid shifts when you move. That's something most people don't think about.
Right.
And as a truck driver, you got to think about that. Hills, corners, curves, sudden stops, and that rock in the truck.
Yep.
Can you feel it?
Yes, with the tanker that I pulled gas in was five compartments, and each compartment had baffles in it, so it wasn't like it was a wide open tank.
Right.
Wide open tank is the worst.
Yeah.
Where you've got, you know, the whole tank that is sliding from one end to the other. And I mean, I've talked to folks that drove those years ago. They said you stop at a red light too quick and it would actually knock you up 5 or 6 feet when it came forward.
Which is why you don't get in front of these trucks and slam on your brakes
or
change lanes too close in front of them.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that. I put on Facebook that we were going to be doing this podcast, and I had some people write, you know, comment on there. Some of the questions are Rusty wanted to know, what about supply chain issues? Have you seen that? You saw it go down in COVID. Where are we at now with it?
I think things are coming back a little bit. It's spotty, you know, and it's, I mean, just like everybody knows, the toilet paper issue back during COVID, yeah. You know, it was just basically that one item at that time. And I think the media and yeah. others sometimes ramp up issues
right.
that make supply chain issues worse than they really are.
Yeah.
Because they stoke the fear in people and people are running out buying 30 rolls of toilet paper mm-hmm. instead of what they need. And then
yeah.
there's a shortage.
Right.
But I don't drive over the road anymore. I'm local. I'm home every day.
Nice.
So
nice.
I don't see, you know, and like I said, now for the past 2 years, I've been hauling just air products.
Yeah.
We don't have a supply
right
issue. But, you know, I hear other drivers talking on the road. That's the other thing is when I started this 38 years ago, truck drivers were a family.
Yeah. Yeah.
CB radio was the big thing. We communicated.
Good buddy.
No.
Woody Kaufman.
That was when I started many years ago.
Call him good buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Woody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember Cletus Maggard? He was a
oh, yes.
he was a famous singer and
yep.
he sang about truck drivers
yeah.
and bubblegum machines
yep.
and seat covers and
yep.
all these
yep.
code words yep. for CBs.
And good buddy was a good term when
right.
CB first started.
Right.
When I started driving, Channel 10 was a trucker channel.
Yeah.
It transferred to 19 at some point. I can't
yeah.
remember exactly
19
when.
Is what I remember.
But good buddy became a term that's not a good term anymore.
Right, right. So do they still use CB radios?
Some.
Yeah.
I run one daily. I keep it on just
yeah.
hoping I can hear something about a wreck or something ahead
right.
where you can get off and get around it or whatever, but cell phones have pretty much done away. You know, you see
yeah.
drivers up and down the road.
Yeah. And know. GPS, these GPS will tell you a wreck ahead in 5 miles if
yeah.
you want to deviate
right.
and go around it here.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. Christian had some...
GPS is a great tool.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
But understand it's a tool and it is fallible.
That's right. That's right.
The old Trucker Atlas is still in my truck every day.
Well, so let's talk about this real quick, then we'll talk about Christian. Christian had some questions. When I travel a lot for active shooter training, and if I either fly or drive, in my backpack I always bring an extra pair of sneakers,
mm-hmm.
real lightweight sneakers, some protein bars, some water, first aid kit, flashlight, matches, because we have to think, if we get far away from home and have an EMP or something where the world shuts down, you got to walk home, you better be prepared to walk home.
Right.
And we were talking about that, you know, about an alarm going off air before
yeah.
we started. We were talking about an alarm going off. And when I heard that alarm the other day at the gym, I thought, this is it. We're under attack because it's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, get into politics a little bit, but it's coming.
Right.
Our borders are
yeah.
open. And it's coming. So what kind of equipment do you carry for that purpose? Like, what do you, I know you carry a certain tool.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, if this is a podcast, we can say it. You carry concealed, which
yes.
is good. Yeah.
Yes.
Anything else? First aid kit, I would imagine.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
First aid kit. I carry pepper spray.
Yeah.
Daily. Because unfortunately, I mean, we can't shoot everybody. There's not
right.
always a life threat. There's
right.
just idiots doing stupid things.
Yeah.
And pepper spray can get you out of a situation.
Absolutely. And I know you carry some delicious snacks because Karen,
oh yes,
your wife, has I've seen the stuff she sends you. So that keeps you busy.
Yeah.
So Christian said, how did you get involved in trucking? We kind of talked about that.
25. Yeah.
What made you get involved
with it? My first wife's dad was a trucker.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had been in the back of my mind for some time. I was working in a factory at the time, swinging 3 shifts.
Yeah.
Go in, no windows, no nothing. You didn't know whether it was daylight or dark. It wasn't the life I wanted to live.
Yeah.
And trucking, like I said, it always kind of intrigued me. I grew up around truckers. I grew up in a family. My dad and his brothers had their own construction business.
Uh-huh.
Did custom home building. I did that with them through the summers, through high school and stuff, and enjoyed it.
But that's a young man's job.
It's a young man's job,
yeah.
And they were getting out, and they basically told me at the point in time, custom home building was going down. It was getting into the cookie cutter, where there's
yeah.
the subdivision.
The kit, yeah, yeah.
Three different houses planned.
Yeah.
And they said, you either got to take it and go big, and run, you know, several crews or get out. And
right.
So I just chose to get out of it.
Yeah, and that's where quality started going down. Yeah. You look at these older houses, and they're built solid.
Yeah.
And you look at some of these newer houses, and they're all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
They're just not made because it's to put together too fast.
Right. Yeah. Well, and they've changed code to allow a lot of things, 24-inch center on studs. And, you know, it just, the quality is not there like
right.
it was.
Right. Have you ever been an owner, or are you co-op? And what do you prefer?
I was company driver mostly. I had my own truck for about six and a half years.
Expensive. Because everything's on you.
It was worth it. I'm glad I did it. Glad I got the t-shirt, but I'm glad I'm done with it.
Right, right.
I wished I'd had the guts and the courage when I was about 27, 28, after I had a couple of years experience. I thought about it.
Yeah.
Back then, I think you could make money, more money, better.
Yeah.
You know, with just the conditions and all. Today, it's hard with one truck. You make a living.
Yeah, yeah.
But I can make a living working with somebody else and not have the headaches.
Right.
To really make, you know, you've got to have more trucks, more drivers.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're responsible to keep good drivers in your trucks that don't tire them up.
Yeah.
You know, it just comes with a whole other set of headaches.
And, yeah. And when that truck's not moving, you're not making money.
Right.
Or when you're driving around not pulling anything, you're not making money.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. A lot more stress.
Yeah.
What's your favorite engine? What's your favorite truck? What's your favorite tranny? We don't
different
even
meaning.
The people that are listening to that, we don't even have to explain that joke. What's your favorite transmission? But yeah, what do you prefer?
I've drove a little bit of everything.
Tranny.
Yeah, I've drove anything from 5 speeds up to 18 speeds.
Yeah.
The trucks we have now are 18 speeds.
You prefer automatic or manual?
No, manual.
Yeah, right.
Automatic is, you know, there's a lot of different opinions on them. I still am old school. I like the straight drive. There are things you can do with a straight drive
right.
that you can't do with an automatic when you get stuck in snow or ice or things. You can rock a straight drive to get moving. You've got to come to a complete stop before you can change gears in automatic.
Yeah. And so Florida, where I'm from is flat.
Yes.
We don't have this problem that I'm going to tell you about.
Right.
When we first moved up here, I had, we have a very steep hill by our house. So when we first moved up here, there's a sawmill just down the street from our house. When we first moved up here, I'm behind a log truck. And we're going up this hill, and he's like going slower and slower. I'm like, what is this guy doing? Then he comes to a complete stop, and then he goes. So, and I was like, come on. And it happened a few other times. And being in Florida, this isn't a problem.
Right.
But explain what's happening there.
I
finally found out. I was like, okay, so now I'm not going to get mad.
Yeah, I'm assuming he was having traction issues.
Yeah. Well, the diesel was, the gears are going, it's because of the gears.
Yes.
He's losing gear, so he's got to shift down,
right.
shift down.
Right.
Because the hill was so steep.
And,
yeah.
And if he stopped, it's a possibility that he very well could have missed a gear.
Yeah.
And if you miss a gear going up a very steep hill, the best thing to do without tearing the whole drivetrain out from under is stop and start over.
Right.
And,
yeah.
That's where an automatic's nice because it does shift down for you. It
right.
doesn't miss a shift.
Yeah. Now we get behind a truck on that, and it'll go, they'll go slow. They'll get slow, then Yeah, it's like there's a Mayberry episode where Barney was running speed enforcement with the motorcycle, and Andy said, you know, we always give them up above the speed limit so they can get up Turner's grade, and that's what they do. They'll get speed. They'll go above the speed limit because they got to get up that hill.
Yeah, and there again, I was taught old school. You know, you don't stop at stop signs if you don't have to. Now, if it's a sign you can't see, you need to stop.
Yeah,
if you can see clearly both ways. If you keep that truck rolling,
that
increases fuel mileage.
Right.
You know, if you stop an 80,000-pound vehicle and have to start from zero, it's a whole lot better if you're starting from 5 miles an hour.
Right. And if there's people behind you, it's slower to get started, so you're causing road rage and aggravation.
Yep.
So be patient with the truckers out there. What's the importance, Christian also wanted to know, what's the importance of pre-trip inspections? And what if you don't perform what do you do on a pre-trip inspection?
Pre-trip is a walk around we do. You know, that you can go very extensive. If you drive the same truck daily and all, you know your vehicle, you know issues and what to look at. But pre-trip is if you're pre-tripping to get your CDL license, mm-hmm. you go around and you touch every lug nut on every wheel to make sure that there's no loose lug nuts. And you know, with experience and time, you start knowing things to look for. If there is a loose lug nut, you'll start seeing a little rust or water trail from those, you know, that you pick up with your eye. You don't have to physically touch them. You check all your fluid levels, all those things. It just keeps you from having issues out on the road where you've got to pull off either on a shoulder or some places there's not a shoulder. You have to block a lane to, you know, for these emergency issues. So, you know, it's very important to do pre-trips. And there again, pre-trips are a great thing. I usually pre-trip my truck since I drive the same truck. Uh-huh. When I come home in the evening, it's still daylight. I walk around it and do the main pre-trip. Now, in the morning when I leave, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, I go around it, bump tires, make sure a tire hadn't gone down overnight. The lugs and all that shouldn't have come loose sitting still in my driveway. So, you know, I'm not checking all of that again.
So you don't have to share your truck?
No.
Oh, that's nice. Yes. That's nice. Because then you know if there's something, if the guy last night hit a huge pothole and didn't report it or damage.
If you're what we call slip seating, which is sharing a truck with somebody.
Right.
Gas tankers, a lot of them do that because they run the truck 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
One driver's got it 12, next driver's got it 12. And so you do need to come in and check behind and make sure that, you know, something wasn't damaged during the shift before or whatever. Right. But if you're driving the same truck every day, I mean, it's like your personal vehicle. You know if it's burning oil.
Right.
You pay more attention to it.
Yeah.
If, you know, I'm getting a brand new truck in a couple of weeks. For a month or so, I will watch it very closely on oil consumption and all that stuff to see what it's doing.
Yeah.
After that, I usually check my oil once or twice a week.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not seeing oil in my yard where I park it or somewhere at a mill where I stop on a regular basis, it's not leaking oil.
Yeah.
And I know it's not burning oil, so why check it every day?
Right.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, there again, something we talk about, common sense, that it's not a whole lot left of in this.
No, there's not. There is not. And Christian, last question from Christian. What's your favorite truck stop and why? Over the years, you know, even not just recently, but
over the years, you know, TA was always a good. You know, they kept their facilities up fairly well.
Yeah.
I used to shower on the road quite a bit at truck stops and stuff years ago. Love's was one that came on about the time that I was starting to get off of the road more.
Uh-huh.
But Love's keeps a fairly neat, clean truck stop. You know, you pick your places, but over the years, and when I had my own truck, I tried to go in a truck stop, get my fuel and eat because that, you know, it's a lot of places you can't get a truck in to fuel.
Right.
But then to sleep and to stay out of harm's way as far as things that go on around truck stops, lot lizards, another thing, term that we used to use.
Yeah.
But that type of, and anymore even just people trying to steal fuel or whatever around truck stops. I used to find little mom and pop restaurants that I could get a truck in and park and usually get permission and stay there. It's quieter. You sleep better.
Right.
You don't worry about somebody backing into your truck or something.
Right.
And the other two big ones that I used to use a lot when I was over the road was Lowe's and Walmart's.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'll see a lot of Walmart and even some Lowe's now that have signs, you know, up in the front parking lot says, no truck parking, and part of that's because we now have idiot truck drivers that go in there and throw trash out.
Yeah, we had a guy that parked in one of our city parks, and dumped his shower in sewage in the city park. He was like, "Why would you do that?"
Right, exactly.
You know, and he slept overnight in the park and just let it drain out from the shower and and then that's what gives people a bad name.
And
you just don't do that.
You know, as a truck driver, if you're looking for a place to park, you know. I used to go back around to the loading dock area because they don't start receiving until like 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd get up, you know, 5:30, quarter to 6 and leave.
Yeah.
I'm parked around back. They assume I have a delivery for the next morning.
Yeah.
So they don't bother me.
Right.
If I park out front, safety or security are going to come and knock on the door and say you're not supposed to be here. And so.
And Kathy had a question, child trafficking. Do you see that? probably not now because you're
it's, right. But maybe back. I watch for these things.
I know you do. You're hyper situation aware. You are. Yeah, you're like me, where you're always head on a swivel. And I'll look.
Years ago, I got to think. I read that on the Facebook post a day or two ago, and I've thought about that a lot. I can't say that I've actually seen it. But thinking back, I wonder about some things that I have seen in the past.
Because it wasn't publicized back in the day.
Right.
Now, the past 5 or 6 years, we've really heard about it.
Yep.
And I think of things. I used to work traffic enforcement on I-95 during my career. And I think of the things that I probably walked right past.
Yes.
And had no clue because you didn't think about, 100 humans being pushed in the back of a tractor trailer headed to Miami or coming up from Miami headed to the northern states or we were looking for drugs and warrants, and now it's a whole new different world.
Yeah, it is. And it's like I say, I'm aware, number one, since I started carrying, I've been carrying daily for 6+ years now.
Yeah.
I'm more aware of things around me because I don't want them to escalate to a point where that has to be an option. And with the mindset of the public today, if you inadvertently cut somebody off in traffic, if I've got a four-wheeler or truck in front of me that suddenly slows down, I have to swerve to the left lane and somebody's coming up pretty fast, they can see that I cut them off maybe on purpose.
Yeah.
Then I'm watching my mirror as they come up to see if there's any action that's saying they may be getting ready to throw something out of window at me or shoot at me as they come past. It's a different mindset than it was years ago.
So let's talk about that because that's what I wanted to ask you about too, is what are some common misconceptions about trucks? Like, what do you see that the general public is like, why did that person just that? So mine was Florida being flat.
Right.
We talked about that hill. Why is this logging truck stopping on the hill?
Right.
Well, now that I understand it, okay, I get it. I don't get frustrated anymore.
Right.
But what are some things? One thing I think about is people don't understand that you don't have the braking power of a four-door Honda.
Right.
A car.
Yes.
So, but what are some of the things we're used to, like, unbelievable? Come on, people.
Braking is one good one. It's funny. My wife, Karen, that you mentioned earlier, she didn't grow up around trucking and truck people.
Yeah.
And before we got together, I was out of a truck when her and I met, just through some situation. Well, it actually was going through my first separation and divorce, and I came off the road for a few years to try to spend more time with my kids and stuff. And even during that time, I drove part-time. It's one of those things that gets in your blood and you just can't stay away from
it.
But she was not truck friendly, and if I had been driving a truck when she met me, we may not have got together because she was that dead set mindset against truckers. Just
really?
Because.
Well, back in the day, they had a reputation of guys that like to fight and perverts.
Yes.
It's like cops. Right. They're stereotypes because people don't know.
Right.
And so they associate with that.
Even today, I would say 80 to 90% of your truckers out here are good family men.
Oh, absolutely.
They just want to make a living.
Absolutely.
They want to get home as much as they can to their family.
Yeah.
It's a great way to make a living, a good living, particularly without a college education or whatever.
Uh-huh.
You can make really good money.
But with that said, you got to be smart because I've looked at some of these CDL classes and the stuff you have to know, you just don't go get your regular driver's license and jump behind the wheel.
Right.
The CDL training is not, I haven't been through it. I've been through the classes just because I was that compliance officer, and it's not easy.
No.
Weights and balance, tires, stopping distance, air brakes, gears, you got to know about the truck. It's not, when you see these truck drivers, you can't think, oh, that's just somebody that didn't, out of high school, jumped in the truck. No, they've had some training.
Right.
Yeah.
I was grandfathered into the CDL. I had a chauffeur's license, as we used to have years ago to drive.
Yeah.
I did go to Alliance Training School up in Withfield, is how I got my CDL and driver's license. Before that, it was pretty much somebody just threw you up in the truck and taught you,
you know,
before the schools and all that.
Right.
And back to the automatic thing, that's one of the things I think, you know, and I think that's one reason that a lot of older school truck drivers frown on automatics, is because that's what a lot of these big companies with hundreds and hundreds of trucks, they put automatics in the trucks, and if you can take a written test and pass the CDL, then anybody can drive a truck.
Yeah.
You push a button and you go forward.
It's like police work. And we've lowered the standards.
Yep, exactly.
And that's where accidents will go up.
And there's now, you can get your, if you get your driver's license using an automatic, you have a restriction on your license that you cannot drive a tractor trailer or, you know, class 8 vehicle with straight drive.
Right.
You know, that shouldn't be. If you can drive a truck, you should be able to drive whatever's out there.
Right. Well, the best anti-theft device now is automatic, or is stick shift. Yeah, is where you got to push in the clutch, and they don't know how to do that.
Right.
Most people don't know how to do that. What are some other pet peeves? You know, not giving you room to turn. If, and this is going to be hard to explain without people seeing me, but if you're sitting at an intersection and to your left, a truck is wanting to make a right turn, it's courtesy to back up and let that truck come into your lane to make that turn. I see a lot of people that'll see a truck sitting to their left at an intersection and they'll pull right up to the stop bar.
Yes.
Well, if you have room and it's safe and you can do it, stay back a little bit because that truck needs your lane. And so by you not letting him or her make that turn, you're backing up traffic behind him.
Yes.
And so
unfortunately, and you just mentioned something that it, you called it a stop bar, I call it a stop line. Same thing. Folks, those lines that they put at stop lights and intersections are there for a reason. It's for you to stop behind that.
Right. It's technically considered, under Florida traffic law, it's considered running the red light if you stop past that stop bar or stop line.
I'm not sure how the Virginia Code is written on that, but
it's
not enforced at all. As a matter of fact, I love law enforcement. They do their job. They've got a job to do. We have good and bad there as well as in truck drivers.
Right.
But I see law enforcement sometimes pull up past and stop.
Yeah.
You know.
It's there for a reason.
Yes, it is. And we have one turn that I do on a fairly regular basis in Floyd, Virginia. And it's Floyd is a one stoplight town.
Yeah.
But it takes the whole intersection for a tractor trailer to make the turn up there.
Right.
And people will pull up past that stop line. And I just pull around and I'll pull right up to the front of their vehicle and stop.
Right.
And sooner or later, they've got to figure out either back up, pull over to the right, out of my way, something, because.
Right. Yeah.
And I have sat sometimes through as many as two traffic change light changes before they realize we're not going anywhere.
And traffic is backing up behind you. And it's back. Yeah. That people, unfortunately, a lot of people are texting and driving, which I'm sure you look down and see them doing everything but drive.
Yes.
And then a lot of people, the goal is when they get to the traffic signal, get on that phone and start texting.
Yep.
And then the light turns green and they're not going because they're too busy. It's my pet peeve.
Right.
They're too busy involved in that phone.
Yep.
I started putting my phone in the back seat where I can't get to it.
There is entirely too much distracted driving, not just that, but many things. And there again, common sense, people. If you need to look at your phone real quick, look in the mirrors, look in front of you, behind you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in heavy traffic, if you have a glance at it, that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in city traffic, bumper to bumper,
don't do it.
You don't need to be touching your phone.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you don't have the capability to multitask, don't do it.
Right.
Because there are some people that can't multitask.
Exactly.
They stop at a light and then they get on their phone and they're focused on that phone and you're not watching the light. And my pet peeve with this is it causes road rage.
Yes.
Which causes violence.
Yes.
A lot of people, you know, you might have somebody behind you that is on a 30-minute lunch break, and they've got to get to that place, get their food, or run to the bank, or pick up dry cleaning, whatever, and you're sitting on the phone, you know, the person sitting on the phone texting, And it causes, that's my concern, is it all leads up to road rage.
Road rage years ago, the worst thing used to be, you know, they would fly by and they'd give you the one finger salute
right.
as they went by, and that was road rage years
right.
ago. Now you've got to worry about guns or
yeah.
other things being thrown.
Oh, they take it personal.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
Road rage has changed drastically.
So if you're listening, watch the truck driver's turn signals. I always pay attention to the turn signals, because if this truck is wanting to make a right turn and he or she is not all the way over in the right lane, they could be in that first left lane, or first right lane, with the turn signal on, because they need that room
right.
or they're going to take out the curb and the sign
right.
next to it. So watch turn signals. What else would you say? Be careful of braking in front of them.
Careful of cutting, you know, short in front of them and then hitting brakes. We have that a lot in traffic. Anymore, I have stuff, particularly around the Roanoke area, 581 and 81.
Where, oh, my goodness.
They'll jump on 81 to go one exit going to work. Well, Route 11 runs right beside of 81.
Right.
They could stay over there. Not
right.
But they're racing in the left lane, and then they get to their exit, and they'll cut across a lane of traffic to get off the exit, you know, just right in front of you.
And the problem is, it's their road. We just happen to be on it.
Yes.
I see that a lot. And I say that to myself. Take a deep breath.
I have explained to people over the years this scenario or this, I don't know exactly what you call it, but anyway, this is your office.
Right.
All right. I know you don't work in here all the time. You're out and about and doing things. But if you were confined in here for 8 hours, this was your thing, and you've got to work. You've got your pens where you want them, everything where you want it.
Yep.
Same thing in a truck. I've got my truck laid out for me.
Yep.
I know where everything is. I can put my hands on it. Well, the highway is my office.
Right.
I'm out there 10, 12 hours a day.
Uh-huh.
So if I was in your office and you're here 8 hours, and every time you turned around, I was standing in your way,
mm-hmm.
you get pretty aggravated.
Right.
And truck drivers get aggravated because people are, you know, a lot of people are out there for a good reason. They need to be out there.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just out there riding around.
I know.
You know.
And that's the ones where it's their world.
So, right.
They're doing their, my pet peeve
is, they've got to get to Walmart.
That's right. Or they got to get up and get to the dumpster. They got to get to Sheets and get their coffee. And they have to do it at rush hour when people are trying to get to work.
Yeah.
And it's my road rage pet peeve that I have to keep doing. Combat breathing, deep breathing to keep myself calm, is 55 mile an hour road, double solid line so you can't pass, and somebody's doing 35 miles an hour, just oblivious to who's behind me. And then I look in my, because I'm behind them, I look in my rearview mirror and there's like a parade of cars behind me and they're clueless.
All right.
Clueless.
Well,
it's their world.
The other one that gets me a lot, and I know you see it a lot, law enforcement does it a ton. They have a reason to do it,
mm-hmm.
but right in the left lane.
Oh, I know.
And it's just, they're out there running the speed limit, which, you know, they think they're fine out there.
Right.
But they're blocking the flow of traffic.
Yes, yes.
And, I mean, here in Virginia, and I think they just passed law again where you're not supposed to ride the left lane. It was when I got my license many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be signs up and down 460 in the median that said left lane is for passing only.
Yeah.
They went away somewhere over the years.
Yeah.
Yield signs have gone away from merged from your own ramps.
Yeah.
People don't understand how to use on and off ramps.
Or, you know, or turn around. What do they call them? Circles?
The traffic circles.
Yeah. The roundabouts.
Yeah.
People...
Yeah.
If you want to, instead of going to the movies one day, just go watch a roundabout. Wow.
Exactly.
But you're right. That left lane is for passing or going.
Right.
Go.
Right.
If you want to take your time, get in that right lane and take your time.
And if you're coming off or if you're going off the highway on to an exit ramp, not all of them are built where they're long enough, but most of them are built where they're long enough. You can get into the exit ramp
mm-hmm.
at speed. At 55, 60 mile an hour, and have plenty of time to slow down and not impede traffic on the main highway.
Right.
Same thing coming on. You get up your speed before you get out into traffic.
Which is technically called an acceleration lane.
Exactly.
That's what it's for. Get your speed up.
And you pay attention to traffic, and you either speed up and get in front of the car.
Right.
Or you slow down and get behind the car or truck. You don't come up, and I have it all the time, and I try to get to the left if the left lane's clear. Sometimes the left lane's not clear.
Yeah.
So I've had them come and they think I'm going to slow down to let them out. No, I'm keeping my speed because I've got 80,000 pounds.
That's right.
And so I mean, I have come close to putting some people in the guardrail. And of course, I usually will get that one finger salute or something, you know. But it's their job to yield, not my job to yield. I'm on the main highway.
Yeah. There's a book that I studied quite extensively in my police career. It's MUTCD, Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices. And that says that a stop sign, for it to be valid, has to be a certain height, a certain reflective capability. When you see these guys on the side of the road doing construction work, all those traffic cones have to be set out at a certain feet apart.
Right.
They got to be put down the road before you get to them at a certain interval, certain, there's length, everything. There's that manual is a lot. I mean, if you, if you studied it, a lot of times you can beat a traffic ticket if you study the, the MUTCD. So when you see state police pulling over trucks, what are they looking for?
Most of the time, you know, if they're not pulling them over for a speeding violation or some type of violation in particular, the what we call the DOT officers, Department of Transportation, that do the safety inspections on our trucks, they have three different levels of inspections. I think one is just paperwork. One is paperwork and a quick walk around, checking lights, and and then one is a full inspection where they actually get up underneath, check your brakes. You know, your brakes have a certain spec they have to be set to. And
they got portable scales that they'll have you pull on.
Right, they have portable scales. If they're, you know, think you're overweight, they can pull out and and weigh you there on the side of the highway. And there again, there's good DOT officers and bad. Sometimes I feel they shouldn't pull you on a shoulder of a main busy highway to weigh you. They should take you off of a ramp or something where they're safer.
Oh, absolutely.
Traffic out there is safer.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, but, you know, they can do that just about anywhere they so choose.
Yeah. That's big because then it goes to what, today's the fourth, so 4 days ago, the new law came into effect, the move over law, which went from police, fire, and wreckers to anybody with their hazards on the side of the road. You have to slow down or you have to move over.
And unfortunately, I mean, it's as many trucks, you know, I pull over on the shoulder sometimes to check, sometimes just get out and stretch my legs.
Yeah.
You know, and I try to do it where it's wide enough shoulder to get off where you're not stepping
in certain
into
areas.
Traffic lane.
Yeah, yeah.
But I see just as many trucks as cars that do not have that respect to get over, even if the lane is clear.
Yeah.
And it, I mean, it's just common courtesy, folks.
Well, and human nature is if you're intrigued with something, you tend to go towards it.
Yes.
So when I taught guys how to ride the police motorcycle, it was an 8-hour course, and we had to go through the cone course. And I used to say, don't look at the cone.
Right.
If you look at the cone, you're going to hit it.
Right.
Drunk drivers at night, the reason why police cars, wreckers, and fire trucks get slammed into by drunk drivers is they're looking at those lights and they get mesmerized by the lights, and the body will tend to put you towards what you're looking at.
Right.
So that's why that move over law is important. It's not just, well, let's move them over. There's there's science and there's reason behind that.
Right.
And that's important for safety. If you have to pull over.
And like I say, it's just common courtesy.
It is a common
courtesy. And that's what we as humans need to do.
Yeah.
Just be courteous to folks.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I think we're going the opposite way in that. We don't respect each other. Well, that's a whole new episode, but yeah. But anything else you want to add? I'm going to label this podcast, if you can't see my mirrors, I can't see you.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That is true.
Yeah. Look at those mirrors.
Yep. If you can't see my mirrors, I can't see
and
you.
And don't ride in the blind spot of an 18-wheeler.
Well, and you know,
I've seen people just sitting there.
Well, and just passing. If you're passing out on the highway, you know, in a four lane where you've got plenty of time, don't take your time out of 18-wheeler.
Right. Get past
if a tire blows, it can blow your side glass out.
Uh-huh.
It can scare you bad enough. It sounds like a gun going off beside of you and scare you into the medium and cause a wreck.
Right.
There's no need to tarry there.
Right. Especially during the rain.
Right.
Because they throw a lot of water out.
Yep. Just go on past and then get back to speed after you get in front of them.
Right.
I mean, I ride motorcycles too.
Yeah.
That was always my thing when I'm coming up on an 18-wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
I get over, I'm riding basically the same speed I was. Just as soon as I start around, I crank it, get in front, get back over, get back down to speed. And, you know, it's just a safety thing.
Yeah. Whenever I go out of town, I'll get a rental car. And my wife and I just went to Charlotte, North Carolina to see Annie, the play.
Yeah.
And I got a rental car. And she said, it's only 3 hours. Just drive your own truck. Nope, I need a rental car. No one had to worry about my truck, right. It valet park and all that stuff. And on our way back, a truck threw a rock and little tiny crack in the windshield.
Yep.
And I looked at my wife and said, that's why I drive a rental car. Yep. Even if they charge me for it, that's okay.
Right.
But I don't have to be aggravated with people in this area that don't want to work. Right. And I can't get my windshield fixed because, oh, we got COVID or we got, you know, it's like just...
Yeah, we can't get help. We
can't get help. It's just, you know what? Give it back to the rental car. Here's your car. It's, the windshield's cracked.
Right.
I'll pay for it, you know, if I have to or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good podcast. I think there's a lot of good questions.
Yeah.
Got a lot of good answers. Just a reminder, Thaxton Baptist Church, T4 Tactics is teaming up with them. Absolutely free event. I'm sure we'll have some refreshments there. We always do.
Yeah.
And you guys have hosted a lot at that church with DCJS.
Yeah.
A lot of good Stop the Bleed classes. But that's going to be Saturday, July 15th. It's coming up from 9 to noon. You can contact me through social media. The flyer is out there. You can call the church.
Yes.
If you have any questions, ask for E.L. McGuire. That's who's here today. And I appreciate your time.
Appreciate you having me.
Good conversation. Yeah. So be safe, everyone. Reduce injuries, save lives. Watch those mirrors. Give respect to the truck drivers out there. They're working hard. Remember, if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be enjoying your coffee right now that you're having. You wouldn't be enjoying a lot of things. Think about everything that you purchase is brought to you by rail and or truck. So we want to keep those guys and girls moving. We want to respect them. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. Take care, everyone.